As we just heard, Lent starts this coming Wednesday. And so it gives us all once again that opportunity to reflect on what really needs to change in our lives. Throughout the lives of many of us, we tend to do very, very little. And in fact, a lot of us haven't even grown beyond childhood. In other words, what do you do for Lent? I give up M&Ms. Oh boy. Yeah, if you're in first grade, that might be kind of hard. For the rest of us, that shouldn't be too difficult. And so, with just a few days left before Lent, we want to really look seriously at what we need to do. The Lord, in the first reading, told the people of Israel, "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." We are made in the image and likeness of God, and we are called to holiness. St. Paul made that exact same point in the second reading. He said that, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God?" And he said, "The temple of God is holy, and you are that temple." We don't tend to think of ourselves that way. Our society has really pushed it the other way. And so that's part of what we need to be able to look at, is getting back to the truth. Because the truth is that you are made to be a saint. You are made in the image and likeness of God, and God is holy. And he is asking us to do the same. So we can look at a variety of different things. You could look on the negative side, if you will, and that is, look at the list of things that you bring to confession. Work on your sins. I can honestly say that I don't think I have ever heard, in 34 years of hearing confessions, anybody confess that they ate M&Ms. That just doesn't happen. So why would we think that that's a great Lenten penance? What really are the sins that you're committing? What are the things that denigrate against your holiness? That's what we need to be getting rid of. We also heard that our Lord asks us to look deeper at everything. All those laws in the Old Testament, Jesus keeps taking them to a deeper level. So what we heard today is, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor but hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. There's a great opportunity. How do we treat other people? The Lord said, if you greet your brothers only, what's unusual about that? Don't pagans do the same? We don't even do that at all. I used to get really frustrated when I would walk down the sidewalk or walk down the hall of the hospital and you say good morning or hello to somebody and they look at the other wall. They look at the ceiling or the floor. They don't respond at all. But now that's just become the norm. How sad. Everybody's in their own little bubble, their own little world. We don't say hello. We don't say good morning. Nothing. And so where's the charity? Are we really practicing charity? By charity, in this case, I'm not talking about giving money to the poor, which is always a good thing to do, or at least helping the poor. I'm talking about just basic kindness. We've become very impersonal. And quite honestly, we've become rude. This is not the Christian way. So those are some areas that we can all maybe look at. Most importantly, however, let's look at the positive side. How's your prayer life? Be holy, the Lord said. Be holy. He didn't say, look holy. He said, be holy. The only way that we can be holy is with prayer. If you are the temple of the Lord, and St. Paul made very clear that you are, what should be happening in the temple of the Lord? It should be a holy place. It should be a place of prayer. Isn't that even what Jesus talked about when he ran the money counters and such out of the temple? He said, my house is to be a house of prayer, but you've turned it into a den of thieves. Is this a house of prayer? You are the temple of the Lord. Is it a house of prayer? Think about your prayer life. If we look at tithing as 10%, not thinking about money, but thinking about time, 10% means that we should be spending 2.5 hours a day in prayer. So let me ask you again, how's your prayer life doing? Morning offering on the way out, and that's about it. So that's 30 seconds. What are you doing with the other 2 hours and 29 minutes? Where is the prayer? That's what we need more than anything. That's what the church needs more than anything. That's what the world needs more than anything right now, is people who pray. If we want to be able to get rid of the sins, we first have to have the grace to do it. Secondly, we have to fill it up with something else. If we're going to get rid of the bad stuff, we need to fill it with some good stuff. So that's, again, where the prayer is going to come in. Fill it with the Lord. Fill it with virtue. Fill it with the love of God and the love of neighbor. That's something all of us are capable of. Now, if you're not praying much at all, don't try tomorrow to do 2.5 hours of prayer. You're going to just get frustrated, wear yourself out, and you're going to quit. Start with 15 minutes then, or a half hour. When you get used to doing that, add another 15 minutes. You get used to that, add another 15. Maybe by the end of Lent, you're going to be able to have that whole complement of prayer in. But then ask yourself, too, what would you like your prayer life to look like? In the best of all worlds, what would that be? What would your prayer life really look like? We've got the rosary, we've got chaplets, we've got novenas, we've got mental prayer. That's that contemplative kind of prayer, just silently talking with God. That one is the one that is most important. That's the one that's going to change your life. Sadly, with the other prayers, we can keep them at an arm's distance. We shouldn't, but we can. Mental prayer takes place in your heart. You can't keep it at an arm's distance. And once you learn how to do that, then suddenly you can pray the rosary from the heart. You can come to Mass and you can truly be united with what's going on at the altar from the heart. You can pray in a deeper way. You become more and more conformed to the Lord. And that's exactly what the Lord wants from us. He made us in his image and likeness. He wants us to become more and more like him. And that can only happen with prayer. So yes, we need to work on getting rid of the sins. Yeah, even little things that we can look at as little penances and mortifications, giving up this or that, those can help us as well. But it's the prayer especially that is going to make the biggest change in our lives. Because if we're going to become more like God, and Scripture is very clear. St. John says it in 3 words. God is love, period. So when Jesus tells us that we have to love our neighbor, That's what he's talking about. He's not saying we have to gush over our neighbor, because that's not what love is. Love desires only the best for the other. Love is forgiving. Love is praying for the other. Love is serving the other. Love is dying to self in order to live for another. That's what we're all supposed to be about. Our society doesn't know what that is. But we should, because we profess our faith in the Lord. And we have to really ask ourselves, how well are we living that? I haven't thought about that. You may have seen this on in different places, but there is a little Christian college. I don't remember even where it is. I think in Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken. It's called Asbury, I think. And anyway, a week and a half ago, they had some kind of prayer service, which they do three times a week. All the students at this school have to go to this prayer service three times a week. One of the students got up and gave some kind of a personal witness. And that prayer service that started almost 2 weeks ago now hasn't ended. And now people are flying in from all over the world to be part of this. The Holy Spirit is clearly at work. And if a prayer service that was supposed to go for 1 hour has now been going on nonstop for almost 2 weeks, I saw a little video of it this afternoon, and they've got people, hundreds and hundreds of people out on the lawn waiting to be able to get in. So this isn't going to be stopping anytime soon either. So if the Holy Spirit is working, and remember what what God said to St. Paul, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Well, we live in the most sinful society in history. That means there's a ton of grace available. And what's happened for a lot of us is that we've just kind of gone along with the world. Somehow we found a way to be able to say we can be both Catholic and worldly. We can't do that anymore. The world has gone astray completely. It used to be a kind of a Christian society that we lived in, and we could sort of make that justification. The world has given itself over completely to the wrong side right now. So we have to choose now to say, no more. I'm going to live my life for Christ. That's what every one of us is being asked to do. And if we're going to make that statement, we have to live it. So what a perfect time, what a perfect opportunity. With Lent starting, that's the time to make some changes. Remember, Lent, what we should be doing for Lent isn't just simply doing something perfunctory that we can do for 6 weeks and then, thank goodness, Easter's here, I can go back to the way I was. Lent should be about laying the foundation for some serious changes that I'm planning on continuing on for the rest of my life. So what needs to change in your life? If you're truly going to live your faith in Jesus Christ, what should that look like? It cannot happen without prayer. And so I challenge you that way. Make Lent real this year. Make it really mean something. Make it change something in your heart. Look seriously at your life. You've got 3 days left. Bring it to prayer and ask the Lord to show you what it is that He wants, so that way you can make sure that you're striving to conform yourself more to His holy will. Because He wants you to be a saint. Be holy. That means be a saint. It's the same word. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's His desire for you, because that's what He made you for. He made you to be holy. And it's simply to love God and to love neighbor. And that happens only when we have union with Jesus, because he is love itself. So that's the call for every one of us. And take that challenge. I hope you take it seriously. To really look seriously at your life. To really look seriously at your spiritual life. And then ask yourself, what am I going to do this year for Lent?